Today I want to talk to you about something that's very important to the heart of the Father, but I seldom see it. I've seen it in moments, but I haven't seen it last for very long, and that is unity. So today I want to speak to you about it. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Mexican, Democrat, Republican. The heart of the Father is complete unity. Now, where does that begin? Well, when you really look at unity, the Father begins to be revealed by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3, you can see clearly what one mind looked like, but what one mind and one spirit brought upon the earth. When they became in complete unison and unity with one another, that's when the heart of the Father was released and His Spirit was manifested on the earth in a way that believers or non-believers have never seen in the history of the world. So I want to speak to you about a few things that I have noticed we are divided on. One of the most divisive topics in the American church today is baptism. If it's full immersion, if it's Jesus' name, or if it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as a minister, I'm going to break something down for you real quick. I grew up and went to a Wesleyan church for about 15 to 17. About 18 to 21, went to a Baptist. And then I quit going to church for a season. And then I found myself going into an apostolic Pentecostal church. And then I found myself claiming that I'm a non-denominational. And here's why. Because when it comes to this topic of baptism, the Scripture discusses it in two separate places of how to baptize. You have Matthew 28, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have Acts chapter 2, 38, which talks about baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And this promise will be released to you and your children. But then you have Romans chapter 6, which sums up where Paul summed up all of baptism, which talked about a death and a life, a burial and a resurrection. He was saying baptism is meaningless if your heart's not right. Then why are we divided about it? And here's how I've always said it. Because I've been told, well, if you weren't baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to hell. And I looked right at that, and it was a mentor, and I said, I'm sorry. I love you, brother. But what I say as a minister does not determine if someone gets into heaven or hell or not. Amen? Now, I will baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that is the only name under heaven by which men must be saved. Now, is it wrong to do Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. If the heart's not right, baptism is worthless in the first place. So what are we divided for? We need to be divided about what we need to be divided with the enemy instead of clinging to him with our divisions. See, because I've heard this. We have a predominantly young church. And I have to say it to a room full of elderly men, and some of you are young too. We've heard multiple times about the music being too loud. I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I love you, and is that a reason not to be a part of a ministry because you disagree with the volume of the music? Or it's not your type? Or it's not your way? I've had somebody come up, well, lights are just demonic. I said, you use them at home, don't you? What's the point of being divided about things that are not salvation issues? I come to you today to say that if you have been one that has had division in your heart, repent, turn from it, and begin to accept what is different than what you believe. Because unity is the heart of the Father. At the end of the day, if you listen and really study the context and words of Jesus, He talked about unity in many different ways between the Father, the Son, and the people, and the disciples. And He really spoke about it in John 17, when He prayed one of His most profound prayers on all the earth, and it was, Father, make them one as we are one. Yeah. What? Then why is this so hard to do? Why, if this is, we know this. We've read the scripture. Every one of us in here has studied the Word of God. I can see it in your eyes. Then why are we so divided about things that God calls minor? Look, if it's a salvation issue, die on that hill. But if it's not, who cares? Who cares? Praise God, there's people that sing hymns. Praise God, there's people that jam to a guitar. Praise God that there are actually Christian rappers for a generation none of us in this room probably understand. I don't. I got a buddy who's a Christian rapper. And he's good at it. But it's not my thing. But you know what? It doesn't have to be my thing. It's got to be His thing. I got to be unified with Him. And I got to be unified with Him regardless of if it's my thing or not. And I'm speaking to you from just a passion and a heart that brothers in Christ, we've been divided about some pretty foolish things. We have, and most of you know in here. And you can hate me on the way out, but I pray we could be unified on the way out, knowing that it is the heart of Jesus Christ. That is His heart. And if we choose unity at all costs, then we will see this manifestation of the revival that we've all prayed for, that awakening in a generation, that freedom to come upon a nation we're watching be destroyed. That's when it'll take place. When the churches stop getting divided about this or that. Again, if it is not a salvation issue, it's a waste of time. You guys hear me? Because the Father's heart is unity at all costs. That means one mind, all in agreement, serving one Spirit, all in the same direction. The method of transportation may be different, but the reason or the motive should always be the same, and that's to glorify Jesus Christ. You never in Scripture see not one time that the demons or Satan himself is divided. Then why do we see it so much in the church? You never see the demons don't argue about the other demons. No, they have learned the power of unity and they bring legions to destroy what God is trying to build.
Correct.
They're never divided. Well, I'm going to destroy them this way.
Yeah.
No, well, I'm going to destroy them this way. No, they're in unity.
Legion.
And you can see their authority to rule the earth in a manner we're seeing right now. Right before us, we can see that the prince of the air is ruling the air right in this moment. When there are men of God, disciples of Jesus, that He's waiting to be unified to destroy the strongholds of the enemy and to begin to cast down the wickedness in high places in a nature that has never been cast down before upon the earth. Because there is an authority. God is waiting on men of God to get unified, to start doing the commission, but to walk it out in love. And then He's going to release His Spirit upon the earth in a way we have never seen.
Amen.
Why? Because it's all throughout Scripture. God wants to use His people. But He's waiting on us men. Look, I hate to break it to you. He's not waiting on the wives to step up. He's waiting on the husbands and fathers and grandfathers to step up. The men to arise for a nation. And then we will see the Psalm 91 scripture fulfilled, where we will tread upon the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and that serpent we will trample under our feet.
Amen.
When we can become unified.
Amen.
It's unity at all costs.
Amen.
Look, I guarantee you, we will not all agree if we bring up a very, just a very controversial topic in here right now. If we bring up a very alright, here's what you're going to talk about here. Guarantee you someone's going to, there will be division in some way, shape, or form. But it doesn't matter. Because I can tell you this. If there was a nation that came to the great United States right now, every single, and attacked us, every single one of us would stand up in arms. Arms locked in complete unity, and we would defend one another. Then why can't we defend one another spiritually? That's what God's waiting on. I preached a very hard sermon to the church last week, and it was about complaining. We complain so much about one another. that we forget the good qualities that are within. Because it's easier for me as a human to look at all the things you do wrong. Because that's what I'm viewing in myself. And it's hard for me to look at you and see all God has created you to be. But that's carnally minded. As Paul was saying, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When your perspective on the things of the kingdom begin to flip, it's when you'll be able to view one another in complete unity, even if I disagree with you. I don't have to agree with you to be unified with you. Are you hearing my heart? Because we don't. See, because that's what God wants the most, to begin to build His one body. Yes, in America, it is many different buildings. And all across the world, it's many different groups that come together. But we're still one church. We're still one. And I don't have to agree with them to pray for them and want what's best for them. Because that's God's body. That's God's people, even if I don't see them that way. Man, crickets in here. Are we guilty or what? Guilty as charged. I've done this. I have done it, and it is a constant take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, because you constantly have to fight this, because it's the very thing the enemy uses to keep us from walking in the full authority of Jesus Christ. He will divide us, so we'll never work together, because if we could really work together, we would conquer so much more than you see right now. Oh my goodness. And that's what he's afraid of. That's truly what he's afraid of. He's afraid that we're not going to be mad at each other because the music's too low or too loud. Because my generation does it too. I just don't like him. And I look at him and say, sorry, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Things like baptism and prayer. Dynamic of service. Of a particular service. Personal interpretation of a certain scripture. Denominational doctrine. Here's a big one. Tongues or no tongues. Man, surprised somebody didn't burn me at the stake. Right now, tongues or no tongues. Look, praise the Lord. You got the prayer language? Praise God. Praise God. They don't have the prayer language? I don't see in Scripture it doesn't say you're not going to heaven if you don't have it. I don't see it. If you see it, show me. Because I want to learn what you've learned. Because it doesn't say it. It's not a salvation issue. That is a gift listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Watch out.
You know how you can have the gift of playing basketball and I can have the gift of playing baseball?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're not good at basketball because that I'm not saved because I'm not good at basketball. Doesn't mean you're not saved because you're not good at baseball. Just means you got a different gift.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We'll lay that one out there. Here's a big one. This one, you guys are going to hate my guts for this, man. Who we vote for. That's the biggest one in America today. Look, I'm conservative. I am. But I'm tired of seeing every social media site, there's two Christians arguing about who's the best president. Let's be honest. They're all about themselves. You will be blessed if we find one that's really for the nation of America. We will truly be blessed when we do.
It's an agenda.
Yeah, well, we all know that. But remember, the president is our God, Jesus is.
Amen.
That's my master, not who's in the White House. Does it matter? Absolutely. Yeah, it does matter. Get out and vote. Trust me, you better be voting.
Regardless,
we need to learn to be unified. Regardless of who you agree or disagree with. Look, there's stuff I totally, absolutely disagree with. Would never vote for it. But I'm still going to love them because they need Jesus too. And if I don't show them, then who's going to? Here's another hard one. Open border, closed border, race, contemporary or traditional services. So many things that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have allowed to to divide us. Why? What's the point? It's not a salvation issue. Again, if it's a salvation issue, die on that hill. You go for it with everything in you. That is someone's salvation. It is that important. You pray, you discuss, you argue, whatever it takes, because that's someone's soul. Outside of that, it doesn't matter. If it's not about the kingdom, it doesn't matter. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what he was talking about and trying to show the disciples. He was saying, when he called Peter and Andrew, he said, look, come leave your occupation, your family, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's what he was saying. He's saying, leave everything you know. Everything the world has told you you are and everything you have become, I'm telling you to leave that so I can come and teach you how to make disciples. He was saying, if it is not about the kingdom, it is irrelevant to what the kingdom purpose on this earth is. Do we have to work? Yes, sadly in America, we have to work. But we need to be working for the kingdom more than we're working for the dollar.
Amen.
And you have to be unified to do this. How can I do all this labor and work on my own? If I'm so divided with everyone, I can never do the work that was really intended for the body of Christ to do as one bride. We'll never be able to do it. Ever. Are you guys really hearing me?
Yes.
Has anybody else in here been divided but me? I could find anything to be divided about. I don't like Indiana basketball, but I'm
what?
A Purdue guy. See, there we go.
What?
I knew it. I knew it. I knew I'd find some Boilermaker haters in here. Look, praise God, no weapons are allowed at the YMCA. This dude would have shot me.
We might as well just wrap up.
Oh, that's funny stuff. I knew it. I knew it would get some people. Jeremy's ready to roll. He said, you want to wrestle? Oh, man. I was in Boy Scouts with him. Years ago. Yep.
Where are you, Evan?
Yep, 506.
Did you ever get Eagle?
Nope. Sure didn't.
I don't know.
But there's things we just have to watch of what we're divided on. Because if they're not a kingdom issue, they're not important. You know, I've said, and here's where this really started sitting on me. Years ago, I was an associate at this ministry. And I go into these board meetings, and every single time I dreaded going in because they turned into this argument or disagreement or, oh, it's this, it's that. And I remember I was kind of really just starting to get my feet under me in ministry. And I remember one time they were arguing about where this speaker on the stage was going to go. I'm serious. And I remember just sitting there, and they're like starting to yell at each other. These are elders and pastors. Like, and I'm just this young guy in ministry, and I remember looking and thinking, I want nothing to do with this if that's what it looks like. And it almost completely persuaded me from that point to stop all ministry in the church, because I'll never stop outside of it. But in the church, it almost completely persuaded me to completely stop. Because I was like, why would I want to sit under or be a part of something so divided over where a speaker went?
Yeah.
Serious. But this isn't, that wasn't just a lone case here. This is happening all over. Where we can't even be unified about the color of carpet or the color of paint on the wall. Who cares? Paint it purple. Paint it white. Paint it yellow, bright green for all I care. That's a funny one with Ron. It's great. Inside joke, he gets it. But who cares? It doesn't matter what type of flooring in there. What matters is if Jesus is the foundation. It doesn't matter what lights are there as long as the Holy Spirit is lighting the way. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if it what is being spoken in conversation, as long as the Word of God is being preached in truth, the fullness of it.
Amen.
What they're looking for. People are not looking for a building that looks perfected. They're looking for a person that is being perfected day after day.
Hallelujah.
And they're looking for complete unity while it's being done. My generation will completely walk out of church, and we'll go to home church before we're going to join something that is divided. And we wonder why. And I'm breaking it out here. I hear more complaints about the division in the American church today from my generation than I hear anything else. They're hurt by it. They're over it. They're saying, let's unify. If we can't be unified, we're going to go hang out at the house where we can fellowship in peace. That's why home fellowship's really taken off, if you guys haven't noticed. My generation is leading up a forefront of that, where it's become the new church for our age group. It's because professional church has been divided for over 100 years. It's not just in this room. It's across the country. Because we've forgotten how important unity is to Jesus Christ. So go to Acts 2, 1 through 3. Trying to pull it up here.
It's a New Testament.
That's a good one. I'm so proud of you. I'd shake your dad's hand right now. All right. Here we go. Acts 2. Listen to this. And on the day of Pentecost, the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled upon each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. This is the most dividing topic I've ever seen in all of the church, right here. Tongues. Doesn't matter. When you really study the scripture right here, it says flames or tongues of fire appeared. You know what that means? It wasn't a sound, it was visual. If you really study on, it talks about how the Holy Spirit gave people the utterance, right, in languages that other nations understood. Not in an unknown language nobody understood. Now, is there the prayer language of tongues? Absolutely. Is there tongues from the pulpit? Yep, but there better be the interpretation. But this one here was when they came in one mind, one spirit, and one accord. God moved upon the earth in a manner we have never seen since. And He released the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it said, because they were one mind and one spirit, they were in complete, utter unity. And here's what that means. They didn't care what city they were going to tomorrow. They didn't care what they were eating tonight. They didn't care if the service was going to take 4 hours or if it was going to take 40 minutes. They didn't care if they worshiped loud, they worshiped softly, or if they didn't sing at all. What they cared about was getting the presence of God into a room. So much so, they would be changed so that they could walk out of that room and change the world. They had the heart of the Father, and that was unity. And we see that in John 17. We're going to go there next. This is the prayer of Jesus, and it is one of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard. You guys following this?
Yes.
John 17, 1 through 26. This is powerful. This is the heart of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus is what it's titled. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and He said, Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son so that He can give glory back to you. He said, For you have given Him authority over everyone, and He gives eternal life to each one you have given to Him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. And I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring into the glory we shared before the world began. And I have revealed to you the ones you have gave me from this world. And they were always yours, but you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is a prayer. He said, now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. And for I have passed on to them the message you gave me, and they accepted it, and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, His people, because they belong to you. And all who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from this world, and they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I have protected them by the power of the name you have gave me. And I guarded them so not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. And now I am coming to you. And I told them many things was with them in this world so that they would be filled with joy. And I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth, and teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. And I am not only praying for these disciples, but also for all who have ever believed in me through their message. And I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me.
Amen.
That's the words of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's saying, God, make them one so that they'll believe in the first place that I was sent by you. That's the heart of the Father. It's unity. So much so, Jesus was saying, sanctify or make them or keep them holy by your truth of unity. And my question to you today, and why do we miss it? Gentlemen, as I'm leaving, I want to ask you something that's hard to do as men. It's to humble yourself. Our opinions are not as valid as we think. If we're breaking unity, our opinions are irrelevant. Because if that is the heart of Jesus, and we want to be men after God's own heart, right? We want to be men that are known by Him, and He knows us, and we know Him, and we want that, and we profess the name of Christ as our Messiah and our Savior, then what is there truly to be divided about? If that is His heart, that's the heart we need to have. So I'm going to pray something very specific today. So bow your heads with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there would be any division within us,
I pray, God, you would expose it in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, as David once prayed, would come into us, God, and search us, know us, try us, and know all of our anxieties, God. And if there is any wicked way within us that is causing division amongst the body of Christ, I pray, God, you would show us this so that we could repent and be released from this in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that unity would become our new, I guess, just our new direction, our new passion. God, that whatever it looks like, even in moments of disagreement, we will choose to be unified. So, Father, I pray that you would make us one as you and Jesus and the Spirit are one. And I pray that you would truly come into our lives and teach us how to be unified with one another. God, that's the number one thing the enemy has tried to use against the Church of Jesus Christ, is he's tried to do everything in his power, Father, to destroy us through division. And I pray that right now he would be bound, because your word says, what is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God, we bind the attack of division over the body of Christ as a whole across the world right now in the name of Jesus. God, we plead the blood to bind that. But Father, we loosen a supernatural unity even amongst denominations right now in the Holy Spirit. God, we trust you right now. I pray you are sending yourself out to bring complete, utter unity in the name of Jesus for the glory of your kingdom, for the building of your kingdom. God, help us to lock arms with one another. Father, I bless you and I praise your holy name. Make us one. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said.
Amen.
So I want to show you something real quick. You three, come here quick. Can I slide this over? Come up here. This is when we gather our true strength in Christ. So it doesn't matter. Stop being divided. Let's make a choice to be unified.
Yes.
Because it's for the group as a whole, not for us. Yeah. Amen?
Amen. 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 Amen.
Serious, man. This is what we need.
Check this out.
You're breaking my arm.
Serious.
You can't even pull it apart.
Amen. True unity binds you together.
Thank you, Dustin, for speaking the word and truth to us today. Appreciate you over the past 3 weeks just not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ and speaking truth to us. So let's do something about it, guys. Let's have some good discussion.